garage tunes.
I like it. I
feel like we just get out of the garage.
This is Dirty Tricks.
Oh.
Oh, is it related to Cheap Tricks?
Oh. Yeah.
They're for kids.
He just wants you, he wants you to love me.
Do tricks still exist?
I think so. I think I saw some at the store this weekend.
Really? I have not seen a commercial with that rabbit in a long time.
That's a good point.
Man.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
Well, I'm sure Fruit Loops still exists. You just don't see the toucan anymore.
Yeah, you don't see Toucan Sam anymore. True. Like, you only see, like, the Kelseys and Tony the Tiger. Those are, like, only your cereal mascots out there now, right?
Once in a while, you see that little leprechaun bouncing around.
Not as much, though.
Now you can just buy all the rainbows.
Every once in a while, you see the Cinnamon Toast Crunch things, like, popped up on your screen,
Yeah,
right?
Captain Crunch, don't know where he's at. Like,
he's
not.
He's cutting the roof of everybody's mouth. I mean, seriously, have you ever been injured more eating anything other than Captain Crunch? Or because there was a bloody roof of their mouth. Like, what the hell did you do? I had Captain Crunch today. It's delicious. I love the peanut butter Captain Crunch. Oh, that was fantastic for me.
Smash.
No question. One thing you don't love is Dallas and Philadelphia.
Hate it. Sucks. Yeah. Is it official yet?
Oh, yeah. Schefter's got it. He's got another one. Are you ready for it?
Oh, no.
A backstory to the Cowboys-Eagles regular season opener.
Oh, God. So this is, I got beat on the story, so I'm going to give you something else. Okay. Yeah, what do we got?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, good.
Since 2004, 20 defending Super Bowl champions have played in the first game to open the season. Those teams have gone 15-5 in those games, including last year, the Chiefs' 27-20 win over the Ravens.
That he put that out there. How's that a backstory to the schedule? There's no backstory there. When you say there's going to be a backstory, Adam, I want, like,
15-5.
I want dudes smoking cigs in a dark alley coming to an agreement of how they reached this game, right? Like, why did we come up with, because giving me Dallas on Thursday Night Football to open the season is about as exciting as me pooping my pants. It would be for
like,
you.
I would probably love that if you did it on the air.
I gotta go.
Smell.
What is that? I Dallas'd in my pants. I mean, you know, like, I mean, what are we doing here? Giving me Dallas and Philadelphia. Philadelphia is about as original as giving me, Salisbury steak on Tuesday. Like, what are we? Right. Come on, man. This sucks.
We'll dive into that schedule here a little bit later on. But 2 or 3 losses to Boston this weekend. And I saw earlier what we had written down is that Boston considered this a test for them.
Yeah.
Like, their local radio, their local media said this is a big game, a big series for them.
Big test for the Red Sox.
And they came out with flying colors.
Yeah, passed a big test.
Yeah. So the Royals are them.
Yeah. Like
the Royals are that team maybe around the league.
Boston, you may not feel it here in Kansas City, but the rest of the league is looking at us like we're legit, and we are.
Do we know off the top of our heads like what the Royals are projected to win at this point with 24 wins in the season?
Nah.
I don't know how to do that math, really, but
I think if you look at like Baseball Reference, you can kind of see where they're projected out to be or whatever.
I know it does play out percentages, but that's way too early to think about. But
yeah,
2 out of 3 to Boston, not great. Friday night's game was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that game
that was fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the next two, not so much.
Right. Like you got blasted 10-1. Crochet, you were going to lose that game 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Crochet was just better than Reagan's that day.
Right.
Sunday's game, Bobby had a rough day at the dish.
Rough day.
It is what it is. Can't be Superman every single day. Lineup didn't do too well the entire series. You said, 4 runs?
Mm-hmm.
And they got, one of them was basically a free run in extra innings.
Yeah,
so
right.
Tough to see that, right? Like, I get it. The last start that Giolito had, he got lit up. But Lucas Giolito's still going to have those, you know, he's their Michael Wacha.
Right.
Crochet's their Cole Reagans. And their dudes were better than your dudes. Now you get to go play Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Similar team to Boston.
Right.
You've already won 2 out of 3 from Houston. Now you get to go to their place. You get to have a little, you know, revenge tour of what just happened against Boston. But again, you're what, 5 games above 500? You have 24 wins. That's the second most win total in the American League. You're one of 7 teams that has a plus run differential.
Right.
You're the 3rd best team in the American League. Now, technically, it's because of win percentage, but you have more wins than Cleveland because you might hear, like, how are you the 3rd best team in the American League, but you have the 2nd most wins, win percentage. They're like 5-7-1. I believe Cleveland is like 5-7-5 because they haven't played as many games, obviously. But like, there's a reason why it's important. And I know it doesn't seem like it, but there's a reason why it's important to beat up on those bad teams that we spent all last week trying to like persuade people to be a little bit more, you know, prized of it because you are going to play teams like Boston that are going to be pretty good, or they're going to be decent, and you might lose two out of three. You'll play teams like Houston, who are pretty good, and you might win three or four. And then you're going to play St. Louis this weekend, who's flirting and hovering a 500 team. Are they Boston? No. But can you take two out of three? And you went 5-2 on your homestand.
Yeah, it was a great homestand. It's been a great start to the season. And every once in a while, you're going to lose a series. It's not the end of the world. I mean, we won 16 of 18 games going into this Red Sox series or whatever it was. But the big picture is that, you know, I was sharing some texts with you that I received from a friend of mine over the weekend about how the wheels are falling off. And, oh, my God, here we go again with the Royals and that negative attitude that, you know, I think needs to be erased from everybody's mind here in Kansas City. Can't continue to have a negative attitude about this Royals organization because you have PTSD. That's on you right now, man. Like, if you still have negative thoughts about the Royals, that's not the Royals causing those negative thoughts and those negative actions. That's you. You need to reassess everything that's going on and be willing to let the past go and to view the present in its own prism, because I think you have to do that, because everything that happened in the past with this team falling apart is not what they're built of. It's not what they're made of. It's not where they are at this point in time, because it starts with ownership, and John Sherman's legit at what he does while owning this ball club. And so while there are the folks on the text line that are upset, my buddy that was texting me, you know, over the weekend about this team, you have to understand and realize that when you look at the Royals right now, you may not have a positive attitude text line about them, but the rest of baseball does right now. And when I see stories after the game, the Boston Herald saying the Red Sox had their biggest test of the season and came out with flying colors, that makes me go, okay, that's cool. We're respected by the rest of baseball. I saw a tweet from a Cardinal fan yesterday that was complaining about the schedule being set up because he's like, now we got to play the Royals and the Twins get to play some, you know, or somebody else is playing the Twins or whatever the case may be, and they've got an easier run. This Cardinal fan was complaining that their next series are against the Phillies and the Royals. When was the last time that you saw media from Boston and fans from St. Louis being scared, if you will, or being willing to heap praise on the Kansas City Royals? It hasn't happened that in a very long time. And twice in one day on Sunday, Cardinal fans upset that they've got to play the Royals and the Cubs have an easier schedule. And Boston saying, man, that was a tough test for the Red Sox. They came out with flying colors. I'm telling you what, right now, this is a good spot in which to be. When was the last time the Royals were looked at as a big test for the Red Sox or even scared Cardinal fans? Because Cardinal fans used to come over here, invade Kauffman Stadium for cheaper tickets, see their team play, beat up on the Royals, get three wins, and move on about their day. And that's not the case anymore. When was the last time you saw Red Sox and Cardinal folks complaining that they got to play the Royals because they're a very good baseball team? Think about that perspective. And the outside world is loving everything that's going on here in Kansas City. And if you're not on that bandwagon yet, and for whatever reason you just can't motivate yourself to get to that bandwagon, then that's on you, because you're missing a fun show right now that the rest of the country's going, damn, we don't want to play Kansas City.
Yeah. Second time this text has come in. Still struggling to hit against teams over 500, reminiscent to the Chiefs in the Alex Smith years. They're relevant and will make the playoffs, but they won't compete in October. They need another bat. It's May.
Yeah, and we know they need another bat. We told you they needed another bat in the offseason, and they knew that. They're trying to get another bat, guys.
And then, yeah, you have to also have like buyers out there or sellers out there as well. Another text that comes in that says, guys, this was a bigger test for the Royals. They haven't beaten a winning team in a series. I'm pretty sure
Houston
was a winning team, and it was pretty recent.
I mean, you just kind of can't pick and choose because they had a bad series against the Red Sox, or however you want to phrase that series against the Red Sox. You lost two out of three. You're not pleased with that. But it doesn't tarnish and it doesn't damper what they've already accomplished this season. And there are a lot of bad teams in Major League Baseball that you can take advantage of. And that's the one thing that the Royals are doing. They're going out there and they're beating up on the Sisters of the Poor. And that's fine. That's what you have to do. And then you play some teams that are just as good or better than you, and you battle back and forth and you see what happens. But I think the weekend did show the need that we all know they need another bat in this lineup. But that's not like an epiphany for JJ this morning where he's waking up and realize, well, Pesco and Dusty said we needed another bat. We better get the hell out there and get one. They've been working overtime since the season ended to acquire that bat. And it's a good thing they didn't pay Santander and think he was worth 90-some million dollars. Because I was reading The Athletic over the weekend. He's looked at as the most disappointing free agent signing in the offseason so far in Major League Baseball. So the Royals may have escaped on that one. Would you rather be paying $90 million to a guy hitting .178 that we'd be ripping all season long? So they got lucky with that one that they didn't pay Santander that money because they didn't think he was worth the $90-some million that Toronto did. And so things happen for a reason. They'll get that bat in that lineup come hell or high water, and we'll figure this thing out from an offensive standpoint. But it shouldn't damper what they've already accomplished this season, and it shouldn't damper your enjoyment of this ball club.
The Kansas City Royals, we continue to be talked about today. We'll talk to Vernon about it a little bit over an hour to see what his perspective is of this team, because we see it. We know that there's some of you that are optimistic and some of you that are just like, well, I could care less because they can't beat good teams, which is up to you to decide if you're going to stick around for the rest of the season. But I suggest you do. Coming up, we'll get to One Word with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
And Astros tonight at 7:10. It's so late.
Yeah, Dusty's really becoming the old man in the room. Comes in this morning, goes, that game's at 7:10 tonight. I'm like, ew.
Yeah. Damn it, dude. Well, every game seems to start like 5:40 or 6, like 6:40.
I think tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, all 7:10.
Yeah, they are down in Houston. Yeah, I get that 7:10. They don't care about school down there. They're getting these games in late, baby. Yeah, it's got to be Diane's on the Space Network. Yeah. Yeah, Diane Houston down there. Yeah.
Diane's homeland, the Houston Astros.
Yep, the Houston Astros.
My grandma could never put the H on Houston.
Well, in New York, it's pronounced Houston. In Houston, it's pronounced Houston. Mm-hmm. In the rest of the country, it's pronounced Houston.
Yep.
Right? And so it just depends on where you live and what you want to say and how you want to say it. And then in South Kansas City, it's pronounced Houston for Diane.
Yeah, she lived in, my grandmother lived in Amarillo for a while.
By morning?
Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, we have to drive down to Houston. Yeah. I'm like, where?
Houston.
I'm like, it's H. Yeah. It's Houston.
There's no H in the state of Texas. They Apparently have taken not. The H and kicked it to the curb with their Spurs.
They decided to get rid of the H in Houston and then add the S in Illinois.
That's right.
Depending on who you're talking to. it just never fails. But yeah.
They have a grocery store down there called H-E-B. They just call it E-B.
Yeah. Huey Lewis in the snooze.
Huey Lewis, yes. Yeah, Yolk Yogan.
And we've lost him.
Give us your H words and we'll pronounce it like a Texan.
Al McCray.
Yeah, Al McCray.
Just Al, dude.
You're going to go to L if you keep this up.
Yell. What's in that Quick Trip cup?
It's Share. Just iced tea this morning.
Yeah. Share. Uh-huh. So you had a random KC sports topic.
Yeah, I was sitting at the game yesterday. My wife looks up the retired numbers and she goes, I wish they were 5-10-20 and not, 20-10-5 in that order on the Royals Hall of Fame. If you look at it from left to right, it goes 20, which should never make it to the new stadium, 10-5, right? All multiples of 5 up there for the retired numbers. And just kind of looking at them and seeing those retired numbers up there, I'm thinking to myself, man, every time I look up at number 20 and see Frank White, I'm like, man, he was for a very long time the second greatest Royal in the history of the franchise. And like, there was literally nobody knocking at the door of trying to take over, whether it be George or whether it be Frank White, as the top two Royals in franchise history. And then as time goes on, we have seen that, Frank White was good because we didn't have anybody else to be here and be a really good baseball player for the Kansas City Royals organization. And he's no longer the second greatest Royal. I don't even know if he makes top five, greatest Royals of all time. And that has nothing to do with how he messed up Jackson County. That's just because we got better players that have come along, whether it be Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. There's been a lot of guys that now have come through in recent years that can supplant Frank White as the second greatest Royal of all time. And then for years, we kind of used to talk about the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City sports. And for, I think, a lot of people, all time sports in this town, you've got George, you've got Len, You've got Buck O'Neill and you've got Tom Watson. Those are always the four people that would make the cut. And we haven't talked about that in years because it's not June or July and whatnot. But seeing the Frank White number out there yesterday at the ballpark made me think, are we ready to knock off any of those four guys right now that are kind of on that legendary Mount Rushmore of Kansas City sports and replace them with anybody yet? Has anybody been knocked out? And if so, who would you replace on that Mount Rushmore of Kansas City sports? And what players right now have a shot of being on that Mount Rushmore of Kansas City sports? Because I'm not taking George off that list. I'm not ready to take Lenny off that list. I'm not ready to take Buck O'Neill off that list. Tom Watson is the one, and Dusty may, you know, disagree because I don't know as much golf Watson, history.
Yes!
But Tom, for so many years, is one of the greatest golfers out there, obviously. I don't know that I'm necessarily ready to take him off that list quite yet when it comes to the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City athletes.
He's the only one on the Mount Rushmore that's actually from the area.
True. Well, Buck is.
Yeah, that's true. Buck is. But, yeah. Like, George's Cali kid. I don't know where Lynn grew up.
Ohio. Alliance, okay. Ohio.
There you go. I don't know. I mean, just like, I think, I want to say Watson's won five majors.
That's a big
Watson,
number.
Watson, yes!
I got to look it up now because, right? I don't know the actual. I know it's four or five. Maybe it's six. I don't know.
I'm seven.
Yeah. Arugula.
Yeah.
75 years old. How about it?
Oh, my God. He's 75 already. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get it before. Yeah, birthplace.
Right.
Kansas City. Come on. This is terrible. Gosh. Come on, Texan. Just tell me what the number is. Yeah. Stats.
I can do it, too. You guys can.
No, it's fine. Kind of it's my computer's just absolutely just
eight major championships.
Yeah, so it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I just went to Google and said, how many majors has Tom Watson won? And it came up right away. Grandpa, thank you.
It's tough to do, like, Kansas. I don't know.
Eight's big. That's a big number of majors.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna be hard to take Tom off that
and
list.
And he's local.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just depends on, like, what your factors are, like, how did they, like, grow the city? How did they, like, what input did they have? Did they do, like, more than just sports for the city? Like, 15 and Mahomes Foundation is an insane, you know, charity that Mahomes does and does a lot of good stuff for it. Plus, he brought three championships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. There's a team. But then you start, you know, like you said, you've got, like Frank's gone.
Yeah,
they could put a Surfside cocktail over 20 at the K and nobody would blink
an eye.
Nobody
would care, yeah.
Sorry, Roberto Clemente, but Surfside is apologetic for that. I know that. But,
right.
Like, 20 could be like, oh, there's
it
10.
Also wasn't Surfside's decision to do that.
No, it was not.
Right.
It was literally Pittsburgh.
Right, like, their owner sucks big time.
So,
But yeah, you're right. If they hung a Surfside banner over 20, nobody would blink an eye. Nobody would care. But
it'd be hilarious.
I would think it would be great. But you're talking about Len, George, Buck, and Tom. Of those four guys, that's the question for me. It's not who you put up there, because people would say Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, Salvi, Bobby,
Andy.
Like Andy. Yeah, I mean, Andy could be up there.
Bobby's not there yet.
No, I don't think Bobby is there yet, but somebody will suggest that. My question is, who are you taking off? Because in order to replace somebody, you got to remove somebody off of that Mount Rushmore of George, Len, Buck, and Tom.
I think it's Len.
Do you?
I do.
Nobody's in more halls of fame than Len Dawson in the history of sports.
I mean, I get what he was. He's a legend. He's an icon. He was a broadcaster. He was on the news. He was all this stuff. But I mean, man, like George, I mean, obviously, like, he's, I don't know, like, he did more. Like, Len got into, like, broadcasting.
Yeah.
Like, George, like, stuck with the team and, like, stays, like, shows up in spring. Like, he's like, George, it's not 90. Like,
right.
Put your joggers on. Don't put the full uniform on. George, stop putting pine tar on your bat. It's a fungo. Like, he's still there.
He's there. Big,
Tom
big,
Watson
big, big
won,
part of it.
What, nine, maybe eight majors from here.
Right.
And Buck's Buck, man. There's a...
Like, without Buck O'Neill, we don't know about the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, or not even the museum, but the history of the Negro Leagues.
We don't have
Bob Kendrick.
Right.
There's a freaking seat at the K that's a different color that's like noticed for people that do like great, amazing things. Yeah. Like, so I think it's Lynn. I really think it's Lynn.
It's a hard conversation to have. And I didn't know my answer coming into this, right? I would have leaned towards Tom Watson, right? I would have said, well, because it's golf and it's not.
That'd be my
answer. But the eight majors is huge. Being from here is huge. I am going to take the Tom Watson name off that Mount Rushmore if we have to replace him with somebody. Now, who's the first person to go up there and replace Tom Watson on that list? That's a million-dollar question. I mean, people could say Andy Reid before Patrick Mahomes. People would say Patrick Mahomes before Andy Reid, right? People would say Salvador Perez could potentially be on that Mount Rushmore of all-time great athletes from Kansas City. But for me, it's probably Tom Watson because, for me, I look at Len Dawson as that guy was Kansas City for a long period of time, whether it was inside the NFL, whether it was broadcasting, you know, games. I mean, Len Dawson was legitimately everywhere, and he's in the College Football Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and a Broadcasting Hall of Fame as well. There aren't many people that have three Halls of Fame to their honor. So I would take Tom off that list, I think. Mac, where would you go with that?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you probably because of the golf thing, but I see with what Dusty's saying with being from here.
Absolutely. Dusty made a great point.
Personally, I'd probably take both of them off, to be honest.
Okay.
And then add Mahomes, and you know, you named a plethora of names that I'd probably put over.
Who's ready to be officially added to that Mount Rushmore of Kansas City? Because none of these guys we've talked about has their careers over.
No.
And I don't know that Alex Gordon is a Mount Rushmore type of player. He was the best left fielder I've ever seen play the game, but he was like a 260 hitter as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Salvi's career isn't done, obviously, right. But we're in the twilight years. Like, if he's not going to make it now, I guess he's not going to be on that list then.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Like, if he ends up in the Hall of Fame, he's on that Mount Rushmore.
Gotcha.
Because there's only one Royal in the history of this franchise that's on that Hall of Fame. And Zach Greinke will end up in the Hall of Fame.
You're forgetting Denny Matthews.
Oh, true. Very good point. Yeah that's a great point.
There we go.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Mount Rushmore, Bob, when they built that originally, it was Washington who they started with. Ball outside to Ibanez. But yeah, Denny's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. You're right about that. But from a player standpoint, correct, George is our only player. Zach will go in as a Royal eventually whenever he's eligible for the Hall of Fame. But he had so many years away from Kansas City. He's not in the conversation of this, even though you could arguably say he's one of the most important people in the history of the franchise, because him saying, I want out, allowed us to get Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar and move forward, you know, with this organization. But I think if you're looking to replace one person on that list, I think at this point in time, it's Andy Reid.
I think he's definitely on it. Like I will go to my graves. Andy Reid would be one of the top faces. He'd be where, if you did it the way, Reid would be where Washington's face is. That would be mine.
Okay. And I believe that Andy Reid belongs on that Mount Rushmore before Patrick Mahomes belongs on that Mount Rushmore, because Andy Reid turned the entire culture of this franchise around in 1 minute. Like, he came in here and they went 2-14, 11-5. The culture was switched. The winning expectations were here. The whole organization changed. Andy Reid should be on that Mount Rushmore if we're replacing somebody. And you don't have to replace football for football or golf for golf or anything like that. But if you're going to replace somebody on that Mount Rushmore, it would be for me for Tom, and Andy Reid would be the guy that I put up there right now.
I think what Mahomes does without Reid could really get him on that Mount Rushmore easily.
Yeah, well, yeah, Mahomes eventually will be there, obviously.
No, but I like your way of thinking, though. Yeah, Andy was the catalyst.
Yeah.
I just hate that we get caught in the moment of what a great dynasty is, and we just put them all up there.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just like, it's Mahomes, it's Reid, it's Kelsey, and Clark. And it's like, okay, all right, so like no Brett. No, anything else. No, Kathy Nelson ought to be on it.
I mean, that's a hell of a call by you, too. I mean, seriously, Kathy should be on that.
She's
Mount
done
Rushmore.
More for the city than any name that we've even brought up.
You're absolutely right about that.
I mean, we're being Kansas City.
Right. You're 100% right about that. Kathy Nelson should be on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Sports Hall of Fame, because we get the World Cup, we get the draft, everything that she's done in this town. Nobody's had a bigger, more positive impact on Kansas City in the last 15 years than Kathy Nelson. It just hasn't been anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I'm getting, somebody goes, you guys are boobs. Only five people in the history of Earth have more majors than Tom Watson. He will forever be on that. I'm with Watson. I think he's, look, I think he's great. I don't think that, and this is one of those things where like nobody's wrong.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, shoot, maybe some people would be like, I don't know, like maybe somebody has Zach Greinke on there. Somebody, I bet somebody has Alex Gordon would be like, Alex Gordon's on mine.
But what I find to be like interesting about this is like we never had anybody for like about 25 years that could even touch four of those guys on that list. Now we've got conversation. We've had three Super Bowls. We've got two World Series appearances, one championship, and we're still looking at that list of top four going, I don't know who gets to be replaced. With all the greatness that's happened, that shows you how great these four guys truly were and for what they accomplished, because we're all sitting around going, God, I don't really know who you would take off that list.
Caglione's probably on that list.
Probably, yeah. I would imagine so. Gavin Cross you could put on that list.
Not yet. Caglione for sure.
Dan Kilgore.
Kilgore. Yeah.
Somebody says their Mount Rushmore would be George Brett, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Watson, Rob Maloney. That's what it says.
Beautiful.
All right, let's get into one word.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
I also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
One word on the NFL season opening with the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Wet fart.
That's two.
Fart.
There you go.
Uninspiring, like unoriginal. That's what you're giving us? Stop giving me the Dallas Cowboys. It's why restaurants stop serving Salisbury steak. Nobody wants it anymore. What?
I think it's great.
You're all in on Salisbury steak?
I think it's fantastic.
It's just hamburger with gravy, right?
On mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but people are out on that. Like, that's like an 80s Sounds dish good. That you don't see much anymore, like a Jell-O mold.
I don't think we ever saw those.
Oh, in the 80s, the Jell-O mold was huge, man. That's the Dallas Cowboys. They're the Jell-O mold.
I think it's fine. It's a rivalry game. It doesn't need much. It's Thursday night. I'll have three parlays on it. I'll be locked in. I'll be ready to go. 7:25 kick. Be tired as hell on Friday. But that's okay, because Friday's show will be easy, because we'll be talking about Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. So, I mean, it sucks because it's Dallas. But, like, imagine everybody last year's like, God, you're going to watch the Chiefs again on Thursday Night Football to start the season? Sorry, do something about it.
Against
Philadelphia
Ravens.
Did, and we get replaced with Dallas.
We're replaced with Dallas. It's like, I'm Philadelphia, okay, fine, you're the World Series or the Super Bowl champs. You get on Monday night for Thursday Night Football. But by God, you got major opponents on that schedule. Denver would have been a nice game
Denver
to have.
Yep.
Because we had Houston because they were an up-and-coming team. We had the Lions. They were an up-and-coming team. Then we had a rematch of the AFC Championship game from the year prior when we had those Thursday night openers. New England would host us as an up-and-coming team on that Thursday night opener, right? You're giving me the Dallas Cowboys? Did like somebody just wake up and go, it's 1995, Eagles-Cowboys sounds really, really good. Like that screams like my high school days.
Yeah, they had Denver, they had Washington, they had Chicago, they had Detroit.
I mean, Chicago's everybody's love child right now.
I
mean, why wouldn't you start the season with them? Oh, because you didn't want to see them get slobber knocked on opening night against Philadelphia, right?
Get ready, baby. Get ready. We're going to be doing one word here in a few months, and it's just be Caleb Williams.
Not good.
One word on Derek Carr retiring. Or actually, no, I'm so sorry. One word on the Chiefs in Brazil.
I wonder if we're going to talk about Derek Carr today.
Excited.
Yeah. Confused. Because I've seen some people say they're not excited about this game, that they're upset that it's Friday night in Brazil.
Yeah, weird.
So I'm confused by that because I love it. You were talking about, you made a good point, Bob did, about how Friday Night Lights, high school, there's going to be some pissed off parents. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It.
Whether your kids are playing or not, you got the cheerleaders, you got the bands, you got the football, you got the color guard, all of that kind of stuff.
Or like, you're a teacher.
Or you're a teacher, you got to be there.
Yeah. I'm excited. Obviously, I'm, frat life. I got no family, no kids, no nothing. So Friday night, it's like after the show, happy hour, leak that into Chiefs game. Like, you get Friday, which means we all get Sunday off.
Yeah.
Like, you could just red
zone your thing,
and you don't have to worry about the game. Now, I am kind of concerned this Friday because it kind of, like, makes Monday's show a little bit maybe, like, diluted because by Monday everybody's like, but there
I'm
was so
it.
Much that happened Sunday.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So you miss out on the context of the content of the game. But Friday night, opening week of the NFL, you had to watch Jones go up against Sirianni.
right? Dallas, Philly.
Yep.
But then immediately, like, bloop, mine's erased, Chiefs, Chargers.
And the interesting thing about that Chiefs Chargers one is the Chargers did not protect the Chiefs as a home game. They allowed the NFL to flex that game to Brazil.
It's 2-day.
I guess they got tired of seeing all the red in their stadium, so they sent it overseas, if you will, down south to Brazil.
If Brazil didn't play soccer, they'd probably play football.
One word on Derek Carr retiring over the weekend.
Time.
I was shocked. And I don't know if that's like an overreaction.
Yeah, you were like, a little surprised.
Because he had just given the speech, I think, at his church, or he did something where he was like, yeah, I didn't have, you know, this, all that sort of stuff. And I thought he was going to keep playing. Like, I thought, you know, maybe keep, and then just done.
Can I change my word from time to Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Now, all of a sudden, you got two openings at quarterback. This dude's sitting there, you know, like that guy behind the tree, that meme where he's got the tag on his suit coat, Aaron Rodgers like, ooh, got some people that want to bid for me now. You know that's exactly where he went.
Mm. I mean, New Orleans would be kind of his vibe.
Yeah, but, like, why would he want to do that? Ugh.
Go to the Saints?
Yeah.
Who do the Saints have as their quarterback? Sloth?
Shuck.
Tyler Shuck,
Shuck,
Jay Painter, and Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler.
Boy, they're in the market for a quarterback. You think Atlanta trades him Kirk Cousins?
Just lose games.
What about this one that I saw over the weekend, which actually makes a lot of sense? They got to call the Giants to get Jameis Winston, don't they? Because Jameis is basically just sitting there on the – like, Jameis Winston is now expendable, I would think, if you're the Giants at this point in time.
Jameis Winston's in the movie The Expendables?
Wouldn't you think Jameis Winston's an expendable part right now?
For sure.
Like, if you're the Giants,
for sure.
Get some picks.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah. But unless you really don't want, you know, Jaxson Dart to be your backup, which is fine. You've got Tommy Cutlets there to kind of be that guy. Hopefully Russell doesn't get hurt.
I mean, you sure you don't want Russ? You sure you don't? This Russell Wilson guy's pretty good.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine that? If they all of a sudden they traded Russell Wilson and not Jameis Winston?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Awesome. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about
that
one. Like, if you're the Saints right now, you got to be calling the Giants. They got two quarterbacks that you could take to be your starter right now, unless you're ready to go with that oyster guy.
They like Shuck. He's like my age, so he better be ready.
Just Shuck.
One word on Jordan Hudson finishing third in Miss Maine.
Upsetting.
That is Bill Belichick's girlfriend, for those not knowing who that is.
Did that happen?
Yeah, Saturday?
Over the weekend.
Yeah, sometime. Like, the picture of, like, Jordan Hudson's dad and Belichick sitting together watching this thing.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. And then one word on this Rockies social media troll job. They lost 21-0, and they put out a picture of Jordan Hudson from that Bill Belichick CBS Sunday morning interview of the quote of, I don't want to talk about this.
Fantastic.
So score.
What a great job by the Rockies. Embrace it,
fantastic.
Man.
Fantastic.
You got house 21-0, which I'm not going to lie.
The football score.
I watched the majority of that game. Wow. I couldn't turn away from it. The Padres just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. Same. And then, of course, the Rockies, in pure fashion, fired their manager on Sunday after a win. They have 7 wins on the season. They fired Bud Black, scapegoated Bud Black, former Royal. Now he can be back for the reunion. Scapegoated that poor guy, as the owner just doesn't invest any money into their team. So
they won 7 games.
And then fired him after 1 win.
Well, I mean, he could have won 3 in a row. They're going to fire him.
Yeah, of course. It's such.
But, yeah, the Hudson, I didn't even know she was competing. I think I'm kind of like turned that thing off. Like, I think
are you out of that now?
I think I'm out of it. It's to this point, I'm just like, all right. Like, something's clearly, like, wrong. We all know what's going on. Once I found out the stories of her dating, like, other older men that were, like,
wealthy.
I didn't
realize that. Yeah, that changes the whole thing.
And then buys a $9 to $10 million estate, like, a house. I'm like, 24-year-old college student has $10 million? Like, I remember when I was 24 in college, and I was
$10.
I had maybe $1,000, maybe $1,000 in my account. Maybe. And she's out here buying houses, and, like, oh, I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my ass. Gosh, I don't know. That is one word here on Fesco and Dusty. Coming up on the other side, an essential movie that you have to see. 913-586-7965. There was a question that came out over the weekend. What's a movie? What's an essential movie that you have to see or that you would suggest someone needs to see? 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball.
96.5, The Fan.
Certain people out on the Chiefs playing Friday night in Brazil. Somebody on the text line says, I think it's going to be fantastic if you're going to do a game on Friday. This is how you do it. And then immediately after that, it's absolutely ridiculous with the schedule they've had the past 2 years. They have to travel to start the season in Brazil. NFL hates the Chiefs but loves using them.
Oh, there's an interesting take right there. I mean, up until the end, all the travel that the Chiefs have had to do, that's a fair point, too. If you don't like it from that perspective, I get it. I understand that because three games in 11 days or whatever it was that we had to play, like we're always that kind of guinea pig for the rest of the NFL. But people love watching the Chiefs on TV, so they'll find it out. It's also going to be, as you mentioned, with Friday night lights and all that kind of stuff that's going to be going on that first Friday night. This game is on YouTube, so everybody should be able to kind of watch it on their phone, I guess. I guess you have to sign up for YouTube TV to get that. But if you're in the Kansas City area, I'm sure it'll be on, you know, 41 or whoever's going to, you know, have the rights for that game, as we always seemingly have from a local standpoint, so you can watch it on that as well. But if you're sitting at the game on Friday night and you're watching, you know, your kid cheerlead or play football or whatever the case may be, well, you can kind of keep it on your phone, watch that thing on YouTube.
So you found a question on X this weekend that says, what are the essential films everyone should see at least once? We asked a text line 913-586-7965. Is there one that comes to your mind that you're like, if you were to tell your girls, be like, hey, you need to watch this movie at some point before, you know, it's too, like, I don't know if before it's too late, but like, here's a movie you need to watch, watch it.
Yeah, I think for me, and you're going to kind of look at me crazy on this one, it's Boys in the Hood. And I think that movie, when I watched it, was in high school, not high school, college. Why are you laughing at
that? I in my wildest life would have never thought that'd be the movie you'd have said to watch.
Oh, okay. Well,
I just figured you would have been like Shawshank or Forrest Gump or something like that.
Forrest Gump's a good one to watch, but I think what we have with Boys in the Hood is a movie that kind of helps you understand life and what goes on in the real world. And we watched it in college. I had a film class in college, and we watched it, I think, for a good portion of the semester and went over and over the film and the relationships and you know, father-son relationships and, you know, relationships in South Central LA and what it was really like at the time. Like, I think it's a very important movie for the timing of when it came out to sit back and watch that movie. I thought it was a brilliant movie. I thought it was a great cast. It's one of those movies that I could pick up at any possible time and watch, and I think you get good life lessons. You get a good understanding for what went on back then in those days. And so I think it was an important movie at the time, and I still think it's an important movie. I think it kind of opened your eyes a little bit to real life.
Yeah, the reason we do this is Max Movies, right? We got to get Mac a new movie. We asked him, you know, what should be the next one. He watched American Pie for the first time last week. I told him this week it should be Varsity Blues. That's not something I would consider an essential movie that you have to watch, but I would definitely, if you get the opportunity to watch it, I would definitely check it out. Now, this guy makes this list, and coincidentally enough, his name is Dusty.
Right. And I'm looking at some of these movies. I'm like, these aren't like you have to see these movies.
Yeah, like somewhere on there, I'm like, you know, I don't necessarily think you have to watch Jackie Brown. I think that's Tarantino's worst one. I would have like Reservoir Dogs over that. Now they do have Jaws, Pulp Fiction, No Country for Old Men would be one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just like great cinema. Have you ever seen that movie, Matt?
I have not.
I've not seen that one either, though.
Neither one of you have seen No Country for Old Men?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Put it on the list.
Oh my gosh. It's one of the greatest films I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, great.
Coen Brothers, I believe, is who did it. Anton Chigurh, man.
That's a great movie.
Like, When Harry Met Sally is a great movie. I don't think that needs to be on a list of, like, must-see movies.
No, and everybody's going to have, like, Fargo's on this list. That's a movie I think you should all see if you've never seen it.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Like, Groundhog Day makes this list. Fun movie, but that's not, like, a must-see, oh-my-God movie. He did put Schindler's List on this movie, which I think is a very important movie for people to see as well. I think that's a must-see movie. See, when I hear must-see movies, it's like, I got to watch this movie because I'm going to learn something. I'm going to be educated on something. It's going to change my life type of, thing. You know, I don't know, screamed. I mean, like, yeah. Good movie, but like, is that a must-see movie? I don't think that it is.
Yeah, The Social Network. There's a couple movies on this list where I like, must see. These are good movies, but yeah.
Social Network was a fun movie.
That's a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about it. I don't think it really, is, oh my God, I've got to see this movie. Now, if you want to see how social media started, maybe, but like, it's not a must see type of movie.
The 913 says The Big Lebowski, must see. That's a good one. No, man, I'm the dude. Yeah.
There's a lot of reference in there. By the way, breaking news of the NBA.
Did see that.
Giannis is open-minded about leaving Milwaukee.
When are we doing useless tweets? When is that, Wednesdays? Wednesday? That's it right there. That is a useless story right now because I got nothing else to talk about. So now Giannis is open-minded about leaving the Bucks. Everybody's open-minded about leaving their teams for the right dough.
He said it's the first time in his career. That's what Shams said. Oh. First time in his career he's been open-minded.
Okay.
Somebody says Good Will Hunting.
Mm.
Solid one.
Great. Really good movie. Yeah.
That's one of Hannah's favorite movies.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one.
That's a solid movie to watch.
Pursuit of Happiness is on the text. I haven't seen that one. I know I need to see that one, too.
That's a good one as well.
I think I'd cry at that one.
I mean, it's like the father and what he's going to do for his that kind of stuff and, work.
It's Will Smith and his son, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's
good.
I mean, it's really hard if you don't like Will Smith now, but I mean, I thought that was one of his better movies.
Yeah.
Artist.
Seven's on this list.
Seven's good.
Seven's a good one. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen...
What's in the Box?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
What's in the Box?
Yeah, no, that's how I know it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that scene is more iconic the more you, watch that movie and understand it. Because you hate when bad guys win?
I like the villain. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad guy wins that movie.
Like, he doesn't have the sixth sense on this one. I would have that one on my list. Never watch it again. One time is all you need.
Because it's once.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a movie that you have to watch.
Well, I don't know that Seven is either, but they're kind of in that same category for me. You're like, holy cow type of moments, But then you can't watch them again because you already got the holy cow moment. You're like, It's hard to watch those again.
How would start, bench, cut on a Monday? The sixth sense... Seven, The Usual Suspects.
Probably start The Usual Suspects.
Solid.
Bench The Sixth Sense and cut Seven, maybe. But that's tough. I mean,
because those to me are all kind of like the same type of, there's a twist, there's good acting, there's, I mean, two out of three are Kevin Spacey, in his prime. And it's just I mean, I don't know. I would, somebody says, Debbie Does Dallas is a good movie.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll learn a lot. You won't drive to Montana for that one. Yeah.
Spy Kids 3D from the 816.
Yeah. I think
great movie.
I think The Sandlot.
Great movie.
Terminator or Terminator 2 should be on that list.
It is Terminator's on that list.
He has it on his. Comedy wise, I mean, I think American Pie's on there.
I know it's on my list too, and I've been telling the girls all week, hey, let's watch American Pie. Like,
they're okay. All right, eighth grade.
Yeah, high school. What they're learning in high school from their friends is worse than anything they're going to see on American Pie or hear on the radio.
Ask Jay Binkley.
But it's true. Like,
you kids don't listen to your kids' school.
If you're a parent and you're worried about what we say may be offensive to your children, it's not anywhere close to what they're hearing at school. So, I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Johnny ain't going to the school and doing reading, writing, arithmetic all day, okay?
I got a text from Beagle. He's like, hey, you got an erection, eighth grade, nerd. I'm kidding. It's what a geek, man. Geek.
Pulp Fiction does make the list. Another really good movie I think...
Not his best, though.
Pulp
Fiction's really good.
It's probably his third best movie. Tarantino's I think it's probably Inglourious Basterds, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Django Unchained.
Django Unchained?
Yeah.
This guy doesn't have Forrest Gump on his list, Dusty.
Yeah, he also has Scream and like something else. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, yeah, I don't know about all that.
Right. He does have The Sixth Sense on this list. He does have Saving Private Ryan, another good one. Great Christmas movie, and Die Hard makes the list.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on the other side, Max in his Porzingis jersey. Bob is, well, I think the Knicks stuff went back in the garage. Coming up, we get to dive into what is game 4 tonight against Boston and New York. Mac and Bob take you all the way through it here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.